In the silence of the warm night, fresh air washed over the companions, and they drank it in gratefully. Lifting a nuke lamp out the window, Ryan angled it about, but the powerful ray vanished into the distance of a featureless desert.
This is salt, not sand.
Christy spat and wiped her mouth. She strained to hear any sound of waves on the beach, but there was only the soft whisper of the hot wind and nothing else. It was as if they were on another planet.
Damn, it is salt. Maybe we're in Utah again.
Mildred took a drink from her canteen.
Or maybe the Nevada salt flats.
Still panning the brilliant beam about, Ryan narrowed his eye at that comment. Nevada? There were a couple of redoubts there they might reach, along with some old enemies.
Hell, we could be anywhere.
JB slowed the wag while trying to decide in which direction to travel. His pocket compass said they were heading west, but without knowing where they were, that meant less than nothing. And he couldn't use the sextant until the sun rose or stars became visible.
Keep going straight!
Ryan turned off the beam and placed the heavy device on the floorboards between his boots.
Off in the front door of a redoubt points toward a pre-dark city. Probably another of their safety features.
So that's why we come out of a redoubt and often find vills and ruins and such directly ahead of us. Hot pipe, and I thought it was just luck or something.
As the wag bumped through a low depression, his father paused before answering, the wind from the window ruffling his long hair.
No such thing as luck, only brains and guts. Folks earn what comes their way.
Nodding in agreement, JB fed more power to the wag, and the companions rolled into the Stygian night of the salt desert. As the wag disappeared into the darkness, the ground before the redoubt churned, and a swarm of millipedes rose to the surface, snapping their pinchers and running about in circles. The bugs seemed confused that their prey had gotten away, chittering in rage. Then one millipede paused, its featureless face twitching as it tested the air, searching, tasting. With a high-pitched cry, it surged to the west in hungry pursuit of the metal and heat. The rest of the millipede soon followed, flowing across the salt like a black cloud in the stormy sky above, instincts telling them that where there was a mag field, there was always living food to be found. The ocean breeze blew steadily over the solitary guard on the stone tower as the canny watched the bobbing headlights of the motorcycle pack crawl along the cliff road toward the oceanfront ville, the moonlight gleaming off the polished skull on their handlebars. Far below the base of the cliff, whitecaps were breaking on the smooth stones of the beach. There was no access to Hell's Gateville from that direction, which was why the elders had chosen to build here. The cliff was sheer, with no path or trail to facilitate passage. And the Mex Gulf was a death trap, the water filled for miles with bits and pieces of pre-dark wreckage, mostly the rusted remains of warships, but also some scattered chunks of buildings and roads. No ship could land without being smashed to pieces, not to mention the sea muties that pulled down ships and sometimes wandered onto the shore looking for food. Awful things they were, as big as houses, with tentacles and glowing eyes. Shifting the long blaster slung over his shoulder, the man fumbled in a pocket of his loose clothing and found a flat box. Pressing the release, the box snapped open on squeaky hinges, and he looked through the pre-dark opera glasses to sweep the landscape and find the oncoming bikes. Under the magnification, he easily recognized the big Harley of the Blue Devils and smiled. Excellent. The bikers always had plenty of slaves to trade for slick, and afterward there would be a feast for those in good favor with the elders. The guard smacked his lips at the thought, displaying sharpened teeth. It had been too long since he had last eaten fresh meat. The hated traitor had chilled several convoys carrying food to the ville, and the cannies had been reduced to eating fish caught in nets for their daily meals. Disgusting. Only muties and slaves consumed animals. The warriors of Hell's Gate ate men's flesh to make them strong. Anything else was awful to feed to pigs. The elders had a long-standing feud with the traitor. They wanted him chilled, but couldn't find the bastard. He wanted them aced, but didn't dare to attack, not with the blasters of Hell's Gate commanding the landscape. Nothing on wheels could challenge the Ville's monster blasters. Placing the opera glasses back into their box, The guard walked past a crackling torch and over to a rope. He tugged hard, and down on the ground a bell rang slow and steady, announcing that outlanders were coming, but that there was no danger. Releasing the rope, the canny went to the edge of the tower to see a group of guards holding lanterns gathered in the yard looking up at him expectantly.
The devils are coming! Along the cliff road! 10 bikes! 5 miles away!
A large man dressed in a patchwork cloak waved in response and turned to the others standing nearby.
So, they're finally here.
Elder Thomas wasn't sure if he should be glad that the long wait was finally over, or nervous that the long-awaited battle was about to begin. He turned to face the creature standing next to him. What once might have been a healthy human female in another life was now a grotesque, scraggly-haired old hag. Her mottled skin was dark red all around, and she had a third arm growing out of the left side of her back. Thomas found her repulsive.
Ah, it be the day of the devils, it be. These be not the men you think you know. Impostors they be, from your great enemy.
The slave woman wore no chains to bind her three hands or feet, and she was dressed well in canvas moccasins and a thick woolen dress to keep her old bones warm. But her weathered face was repugnant, her eyes empty holes ringed by layers of scars where white-hot knives had removed the orbs.
I have seen it all happen in my mind. Death comes here today.
What the Wrinkly failed to add was that she saw the destruction of the vill come in the form of a ray of sunshine. What that could possibly mean was beyond her understanding, so she wisely kept quiet, knowing that she risked death by withholding information, but also at displeasing the chief elder. Thomas fingered the barbed whip coiled at his hip.
So you say, witch. You'd best to be right this time, or we'll see if you do a better job without your hands.
She bowed at that, gushing affirmations until he ordered her silent. Damn talky bitch was more trouble than he liked to tolerate, but the Wrinkly was a doomy, a mutie with the gift to see the future. A former elder of the Hell's Gate had heard that sight weakened the powers of a doomy, and so he had her eyes removed to increase her value to the bill. The only problem with her predictions was that once she foretold what was going to happen, it would then change the course of events, sometimes drastically. However, the witch was correct more often than not, and thus couldn't be harmed. But the pretense of listening to advice from lowly food was repugnant to the elder, and he eagerly looked forward for any excuse to gut the woman and toss her into the stew pot. The sea breeze whipped over the tall walls of the vill, bending the torches in different directions, making a few of the men flinch as the flames got too close to their faces.
The question is, Thomas, do we take the chance?
Elder Getty leaned heavily on a yellow cane carved from human thigh bones. His long beard was knotted into two strands to resemble the forked tongue of a snake, and he tugged on the end of one thoughtfully.
If we chill the wrong people, we could anger the storm gods and rain destruction upon Hell's Gate.
Elder Thomas pulled a shiny blue .38 Colt from within his shirt and tucked it into his belt with the handle turned out for a fast draw.
Praise be to the sky gods!
Privately, Thomas didn't believe in any unseen gods that ruled the air. The man had traveled far in his youth, and everywhere he went, the sky was a boiling mass of rads and chems. Although, Thomas had to admit, why the acid rains never fell upon Hell's Gate was something for which there was no explanation. Some said it was because they were the chosen people, or because they ate the flesh of man to please the gods, and once a demented slave said it was merely because of wind currents from the ocean. That sacrilege sent the slave to the table of the blood feast, and his wails lasted long into the night. Oh yes, Thomas remembered it fondly. That slave had been a very satisfying meal.